And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hello, everyone! Welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars! And we're back to weekly episodes, so here we go! In this episode, fueled by vengeance and rage, the newly reunited brothers, Savage Opress and Maul, spread terror and violence across the galaxy. As the Sith brothers forcibly recruit Hondo Ohnaka and his pirates, Obi-Wan Kenobi and Adi Gallia chase them down, leading to a deadly confrontation. There will be... Hondo! Lots of Hondo! So this is a fun one! We're talking about Revival this week. How you doing, Chris? We're getting back to it.
I know, finally. Seems like such a long time, doesn't it?
I know, but it really wasn't. I guess it kind of feels like it because like our 100th episode was in there, but we did that beforehand. So really, you and me have only had 3 weeks off?
Something like that. It feels like more,
but it was Last Jedi... Last Jedi, Rogue One, Force Awakens, and then we took a week off because I was out of town. So it's been a month. A month's a long time in podcasting terms.
Yeah, I guess it's not a long time to old-timers like me. Just seems like a while since we did an episode. Proper episode.
I have to say, when I was doing the outline, I was just like, I have to write funny stuff. God. I was like, I forgot how long it takes me to do this. Before we get to the episode, I have some things I want to say first, like some of the stuff that's happened over the last month. I just wanted to give another shout out to Shima. She did our artwork for our Rogue One commentary, and it's wonderful, and we love it. So I just wanted to give another shout out to Shima and say thank you. We really super appreciate it, and we hope we can work with you in the future again, because we really enjoyed you. But if you want to see more of her art, it's at Shima, S-H-I-M-A, _spoon. So it's Shima Spoon on Twitter if you want to see more of her artwork. So I just wanted to give a little shout out to her because that was really nice.
Yeah, that's some nice artwork.
We're really excited. So it was so good. I also, guys, I made this up like a month ago. And I meant to bring it up during our Last Jedi talk. I meant to bring it up during our Rogue One discussion. During Force Awakens, and I just kept forgetting about it. So here we go. I made up a pickup line. I made it up at 1 in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You were so excited. I you caught me in the middle of editing, and I was just like, oh, yeah, yeah, great.
I know. But I made it up at 1 in the morning, and I was rolling around in bed going, I have no one to tell this to. And I was like, I'll bring it up on the podcast. And I forgot for a month. So, you ready? Chris, you want to be my girl?
I'm ready.
Hi there!
Hey, girl. You can call me Alderaan and blow me to smithereens!
Whoa!
Yeah! We start this off. Well, it's a new year. We have to start off with new class.
What, and I would be the guy who'd say, are you the Death Star? Because I want to fly a small fighter down the trench to the exhaust port.
I would have walked out of the bar already.
Exactly.
Not that I go to bars. I'm not much of a bar scene person. Give me a bookstore any day. But I also wanted to share a story with you, Chris.
Okay.
So when I was in Raleigh last week, because... You know, you guys don't know this, but I was out of town last week because both of my best friends turned 30. And so we were having a big party for everybody. And as I was there, this party lasted from 6 p.m. to 11. And the entire time, these guys were talking about Last Jedi. And I had this moment where I was like, oh my god, people are talking Star Wars, and you know, I can talk with Star Wars. But as I was listening to the conversation, it was one of those things that, like, I knew I wouldn't win. It was that kind of argument. Like, they were just debating to be debating.
Right.
And it wasn't like, let's try and change someone's mind. So I had to, like, just make a choice for the first time and be like, you know what? I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to talk Star Wars tonight. But the kind of funny thing was, like, the way my best friend's house works is there's a hallway, and the bathroom's on the hallway, but the hallway leads right into the kitchen. So the bathroom is technically right beside the kitchen. So when I was in the bathroom, I could hear them talking very loudly about Last Jedi. And so finally I just came out, and I was just like, I just need to make a note. I just want to say something. Because I hear you guys, because they were doing all the dumb arguments of, like, well, how do bombers work in space? There's no gravity to drop the bombers.
Oh, jeez. And I wish I was there.
And I'm sitting here going, how does sound work in space?
You don't even I've already retconned and no prize that one right there. I've heard that one. That one's stupid, stupid, stupid. Okay.
Like, how does they have spaceships? How do the Imperials mask in the air of the vacuum of space? I mean, come on.
How do the Imperials have the little spy, you know, floating spy eyes that they just use? Those are little round things that float around, right? Those bombs weren't dropping. Those bombs were propelling themselves evenly down towards the ship. They looked like they were falling because they were going in the direction of the ship. But, Yeah.
I mean, Han Solo was in the vacuum of space wearing a little mask over his face because they were in, and that was fine. His head didn't explode. He's fine. But it was that kind of argument. So it was just one of those things I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to win this. I'm not even going to get involved. But I was just like, hey, I just need to make a note. I just want to say that Last Jedi is a movie about failure. Everybody fails. And even Yoda says the best teacher is failure. And that's what the movie is about. And they were all just like, we're drinking. So I was like, fine. So then I went and I talked fan fiction for 4 hours and talked about fandom and fan fiction with a friend of mine. But when I went back about an hour and a half later to refresh my drink, I heard one of the guys going, well, Last Jedi is about failure. And I was just like, fuck! Like, fuck you!
Ha.
I'm trying to find a very specific tweet from Pablo Hidalgo because I wish I had this. Actually, it was from somebody else talking about Pablo Hidalgo because they quoted him. Come on Twitter. There we go. I wish I had this. Oh my gosh, I need to stop saving so much of Shima Spoon's stuff because now it's filling up everything. Did I not save it? Am I just a crazy person and I didn't save it and I thought I did?
Could be both.
Well, I know I'm a crazy person. There's no, like, questions about that. Hold on. If I can't find it in the next, like, few swipes, I'm gonna give up on it. I also have a new favorite Star Wars character.
A new one?
Well, I'm reading from a certain point of view, and there is a character in it named Sardis Ramson, and you know the droid, the part in the movie that, like, these are not the droids you're looking for. Mm-hmm. These are not the droids you're looking for. He's one of those guys, one of those stormtroopers, and this guy is the sassiest guy that has ever sassed, and he pretty much is, like, writing a report. That's what he's writing a report to the Empire, and he's calling them out for all their bullshit and, like, for giving them cheap equipment and, like, sticking him in the desert, and all he wants to do is be a Dewback rider because he's like, the Dewback guys have, like, all the great stuff and they get to play with animals all day and you make me walk around in the desert, and he ends up defecting. But it was interesting because he was talking about how, like, when Obi-Wan pulled the Mind Force trick, in his eyes, he was just like, yes, this is the most reasonable thing.
Makes perfect sense, yeah.
Ever asked of me. Of course these aren't the droids that we're looking for. It's great. Yeah. And it was just, he's so sassy and he's hilarious. Yeah, so I really enjoyed that story of Samson, or Sardis Ramson. Okay, I don't think I'm going to be able to find this tweet. But pretty much what it is that this guy was breaking down how Star Wars is always being should always be presented in a way that somebody from the 40s could understand space travel.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess. Well, you know, I mean, it's based a lot on Flash Gordon.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's just kind of the shorthand of what this thread was. Oh, my God, I can't find it. I wish I could. It was a beautiful, wonderful thread that, like, really fixed everything. Why can't I find this? Why can't I find this? Pablo Hidalgo, stop tweeting about your dog.
You know what? There were TIE Fighter bombers in Empire Strikes Back.
Bombing
the asteroid. They were dropping bombs. So people just have to STFU.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to bother me that now, like, I should have prepared this. I wasn't thinking about it before. Well, I did have to suddenly drive and unlock my coworker because my coworker locked himself out of the store. And
excellent.
So I didn't have as much time to prepare as I normally would for a podcast. Stop talking to people, Pablo. But yeah, I think that was the first time I, like, willingly noped out of a Star Wars conversation. And
yeah, it does not sound like it would be worth it, and it sounds like you would have just gotten plagiarized, basically, by the end
of
it.
Yeah, but they literally argued it for 5 hours. Like, they were walking out of the door still arguing about Last Jedi, and that's the thing, like, I don't mind, like, arguments and debating, but I'm not a fan of, like, debating just to be debating. That's just not something I like to do.
It's just something to do, yeah.
Yeah, so unless I know that I can, like, win the debate, I don't really care, you know?
Well, when people are doing debating just to debating, nobody ever wins. It's always just going to be back and forth, you know? That's the whole point of it.
And people are going to get butthurt eventually. And then it's not fun anymore.
It is if it's not you.
I guess that's true, but it's, I don't know. That's
if you
just,
can hurt just all the other butts, then you walk away happy. That's all I gotta say.
I know, that's just not fun to me. I don't know. So I just, yeah, I just had to kind of walk away from that, and just, I could hear them in the next room, and we had a much better, all the women folk went down and sat by the fire, and we actually had a very nice, deep, detailed conversation about fan fiction and fandom for a few hours. That was actually really fun. The best part was my friend Kate realized that she had been reading the fan fiction of my best friend's friend, but she didn't know it was her fan fiction. She was just like, oh my God, I love your story. She's like, I can't believe I'm meeting you. I can't believe I'm meeting you. We were in the same wedding together. We were in the same wedding together. I wonder if I just Google or look up Pablo Hidalgo. That's not how you sell. I kind of give up on this. But pretty much it was just a breakdown of, like, you know, Star Wars was based in the 1930s or in 1940s and World War II and stuff like that. And so they never wanted to actually, like, have hard, fast science. Like, this is, like, science fact in Star Wars, because they wanted it to present the story and have the feeling of the story. And it pretty much ended with, if you want science, watch Star Trek.
Yeah, and even that's sketchy a lot of the times.
Yeah. How was your week?
Not bad. A lot of work, a lot of shoveling, a lot of editing. I'm still in the process of editing.
I'm so excited that you talked to Scott Gardner about Last Jedi. I can't wait to hear it, and I'm surprised he liked it.
Oh, that's right. It'll be out by now, yeah. So we won't be spoiling that, yeah.
But I won't know about it.
It's yeah, we had a great conversation. It was a lot of fun. It was very, both of us were surprising each other. So it was a lot of, it's a great podcast. I haven't started editing that one yet. That's next on. I can only edit 3 at once. I can't go 4 at once.
Chris, you can lie to me, and don't tell me that you're lying. Did you enjoy our talk better?
Yeah,
just say yes.
I hope I did. It was far superior.
Good.
No, well, actually, it's funny because I was editing that talk.
I'm imagining they're two very different kinds of talks.
They are.
So.
Well, I was editing that one, so I was re-listening to that, which was recorded 2 days after the movie came out. While at the same, and then I took a pause in editing that to record with Scott a month after the movie came out. And yeah, and there we took two different approaches on both different podcasts, and yeah, they're going to be very complementary of each other. That's for sure. They're very different. A lot of the stuff that we covered is stuff that we didn't even really touch upon with.
You
Scott
told me
and I.
That you and Scott didn't even mention a porg.
Not the word porg was not said once. I keep thinking of things that we did, you know, it would have been 6 hours if we would have thought of every character and everything. We never talked about porgs. We never talked about John Williams' music. But yeah.
Well, are you ready to get back into the swing of Clone Wars?
I am.
Clone Wars! I don't know why I just like banshee screamed. I'm excited. We've talked like everything else, but now it's Clone Wars time in season 5. Season 5! Alright, ready?
I'm ready.
Alright. Revival is the 89th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on August 24, 2012 at Star Wars Celebration before airing on September 29, 2012 on Cartoon Network. It was written by Chris Collins and directed by Stuart Lee. Some extra information for you. This one's going to be a little bit longer because I'm giving you extra Season 5 information. So this is actually some extra Season 5 information too. Unlike the previous season, Season 5 consisted of only 20 episodes. It was the final season of the series to be broadcast on Cartoon Network. Before it began airing, Hasbro suggested that Season 5 would be the last season of The Clone Wars. Supervising director Dave Filoni disputed this claim at the time, and in Star Wars Insider, he reiterated his intention to keep making the show as long as people were watching. He also announced that his staff had begun working on scripts and designs for the 6th season. However, the series was canceled after season 5, with 13 remaining episodes that had been in development during the that had been in development being released as The Lost Missions, aka season 6, which was released entirely on Netflix. Both Palpatine and Yoda received redesigns for this episode in order to increase performance on facial modeling for the animated purposes. Palpatine also received a new outfit, which the trivia gallery for the episode confirmed as the same outfit he wore in the beginning of Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. And that was just mostly to update them to their Episode 3 looks. This one's a little bit confusing, guys. A War on Two Fronts, which I think is next week's episode, was originally scheduled to be the premiere episode of Season 5, but the premiere was changed to Revival, this episode, as announced at San Diego Comic-Con 2012, at a special screening prior to its premiere on Cartoon Network. Supervising director Dave Filoni stated that he felt, as did series producer George Lucas, that Revival should be the season premiere, which is why it was moved to the beginning of the season, despite some continuity problems, including Audie Gallia's death, despite her appearance in a later airing A War on Two Fronts, and the previous destruction of Hondo Inaka's pirate base, an event that is depicted later in a later airing of A Necessary Bond. Filoni has stated that his crew at the time, if his crew had more time, they would have modified the episode to better fit chronologically with the airing order. But on the Blu-ray and DVD release, Revival was moved and placed in its rightful place between A Point of No Return and Imminence, making the first episode of War of Two Fronts. So that's pretty much just saying we're going to see some continuity shit later. I think
what else is new?
Yeah, I mean, season 3, come on. The name of the Twi'lek Jedi killed by Darth Maul and Savage Opress in the prologue wasn't named in the episode itself, but the official trivia gallery for this episode confirmed that she was Finn Irte. When Maul and Opress infiltrated the warehouse, the supervisor and the pirates initially mistook them for Jedi. This was meant to imply that the Sith were not well known throughout the galaxy, or that the Jedi or most haven't met a Jedi before, and that kind of ties in with a note later that I have at least. In the episode, Hondo Naka's line, "Insolence! We're pirates! We don't know what that means!" is a subtle nod to Captain Hector Barbosa's line, "A lot of long words there, miss. We're not but humble pirates." In Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of Black Pearl, it's one of the several references to Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean franchise throughout the series. And sadly, and you can hear it in this episode, there you can hear the voice change. Sadly, Ian Abercrombie, who voices Palpatine, passed away during the making of Season 5. He recorded for this episode and The Lawless before he passed. Tim Curry, stepped into the role of Palpatine and recorded one line for Palpatine for this episode saying, "They're just petty crooks."
Wow.
But, so, other than this and The Lawless, we have Tim Curry as Palpatine for the rest of the series.
Mm-hmm. Tim Curry.
Yeah.
Sweet transvestite.
Kind of a funny thing. My friend Angel, when she was watching Clone Wars, she was like, "Come on, the Jedi have to know that he's evil. It's Tim Curry."
He played the devil in Legend, so there you go.
Yeah, I mean, so on one hand, I was just like, oh man, I love Tim Curry, but on the other hand, it's really sad that we lost Ian Abercrombie on the making of the season, so. And it's this in one other episode, but you can hear it during the Palpatine scene when he says, "They're just petty crooks." There's a clear voice change just for that line.
Like John Lithgow doing Yoda's voice.
John Lithgow does a Yoda impression?
John Lithgow played Yoda. On radio adaptation. Yes.
I did not know that. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yoda, can you do a John Lithgow impression?
Yoda just did.
Oh, it was good. Yay, Yoda. Yay. Oh my gosh, our first space platitude of the new year. It's not even really that good one either. It's good for the platitude, but not for the episode.
Okay.
I'm thinking another one. Sorry, I was thinking next week's plot. No. Never mind. Just read the damn line, Yoda. Do your job.
Straight.
What do I pay you for?
Yoda's trying.
Sorry, go ahead.
Trying Yoda is.
Chris, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Strength in character can defeat strength in numbers. In bed? But maybe not.
I'm sorry, Yoda. I'm just like super excited to be back with Clone Wars. I'm sorry.
Yoda's always super exciting.
I know. I heard your little intro for the second 100th episode. You were very excited. Very, very excited for
Yes.
That.
Yes.
That really was a nice surprise, Chris, because I was listening to it. I was like, oh my god, it's like our version of an Eat It and Beat It opening. All right.
I like to picture it as Yoda walking through the woods and coming across a porn magazine and be like, oh.
I don't know. I kind of imagine. You know how was it? Which Spider-Man?
You can imagine quite a bit with that. Yeah.
Which Spider-Man movie was Spider-Man 3 that like Peter Parker went all emo? The Tobey Maguire one?
Yeah.
I imagine like that scene where he's like strutting down the street silly. But that being Yoda, he was just like, hey. Yeah, I'm Yoda. Yes! Like, that's what I imagined. I was like, what am I listening to? All right. Act one. Oh, by the way, I also made a joke about the room in this, because I finally got to see the room.
Oh, you're tearing me apart,
Lisa! We had a really fun weekend.
My favorite is, Hi, doggy!
Yeah, that
You're
was
our
fun.
Favorite customer.
Thanks. Hi, doggy.
Thank
I didn't
you.
Hit
hi,
her.
Doggy.
I didn't hit her. It's bullshit. I didn't hit her. Oh, hi, Mark. Yeah. Oh, man. Last weekend, I did way too much drinking. And I'm still having a hangover from it. All right, act one.
Wow, boy, Hope, you're really... Now, I just thought of this. You're really, getting leathered up, man. You've got the room and the Star Wars holiday special under your belt now.
Yeah.
Yep, yeah. You're slowly killing yourself from on the inside. It's good,
slowly,
good for your character, though.
Slowly but surely. Don't call me Shirley. Act one!
Act one.
Last time, Darth Maul and Savage Opress had a brothership trip on a turtle ship to a little village and killed some babies and some adults to lure out Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I actually had to stop and think for a very long time about what happened in the last episode because I could not remember. And not like a good adult, I didn't look it up. So this is all off of memory. Kenobi was all like, "No! Stop, Maul!" And Darth Maul was all like, "Ah! Revenge!" While Savage whipped out his best Hulk Hogan impression, calling everyone
brother.
Also, shout out to the listener who actually came up with that, and I searched through all the Facebook comments on Two True Freaks, and I couldn't find who you were, but kudos to you for coming up with the Hulk Hogan thing. Kudos. Anyway, Asajj Ventress showed up, and she saved Obi-Wan, and they ran away, leaving the Super Maul Bros in space. So what's the worst that could happen? Well, it turns out the Super Maul Bros are causing chaos all over the galaxy, because some men just want to watch the world burn. And they're murdering everyone in their past, and their path, just for the lulz. So on to this week. On a space station in the middle of nowhere, these droid guards are hanging out, doing their guard duty, and suddenly all the lights go out, and they investigate, and they find the Super Maul Bros, who quickly take out the guards. And Savage is like, "I'm gonna knock over things like Tommy was so in the room," until they find a safe. And Savage pops it open with his lightsaber and finds a fortune of credits. And he's just like, "Bro, look at this money." And Maul is all like, "Woe is me. A fortune is Kenobi's head on a platter." And Savage whispers, but we could buy some really cool stuff, guy." And Maul insists that they need to have a unified vision against the Jedi. His master plan, not Savage's. Savage, no, sit down. And Savage is like, "I don't know how I feel about you trying to be all alpha male on me. Because, you know, Ventress and Dooku pulled out that on me. And it didn't end well. It's not very good for my blood pressure. I should probably see a therapist because it really hurt my feelings. So why don't, you know, we just be equals and share our strength, brother?" And Maul waxes some Sith poems stating that he's the master and Savage is the apprentice. Well, Savage doesn't like this idea very much, no siree, and he pulls his lightsaber out on Maul. It's a very fast fight, maybe like 5 seconds, and I lost my spot. And Maul owns Savage's ass, and Maul vows to complete Savage's training as his master, not his brother. So the brotherhood is over, like my Falcons lost in the playoff. Meanwhile, Obi-Wan and Adi Gallia arrive at the space station, but the Super Maul Bros have already left. They speak with one of the workers who tell the Jedi that the Maul Bros are heading to Florum, where pirates live, which means one thing. This is a Hondo episode! Yay, Hondo! Yay! Hondo! What'd you think of Act 1, Chris?
It was pretty good. I really liked the Ralph McQuarrie-like robot guards at the beginning with the, like, they had really phlegmy voices, though.
I had that, too. I liked... Oh, I can't believe me of all people was saying this, but I really like their designs and how they moved, because they actually moved very human-like. It's almost like they just took one of their human models and like just stripped it down to the skeleton and put robot parts on it, because they moved very human. So I thought it was a really cool design.
Yeah, they looked very Ralph McQuarrie-like. And I like the worker guy that they talked to. He was sort of like Space Andy Griffith.
Yeah,
I actually thought he was like the sheriff or something, just by the way he talked, because he talked like Sheriff Andy Griffith. And I thought the scene with the Maul brothers fighting, it felt a lot like the Darth Vader fight at the end of Rogue One. I should say the Darth Vader attack.
The massacre.
Yes. just something about the way it went down, and maybe it was because it was in a hallway like that. But yeah, but that's all I really had. I like that their ship. It looks sort of like a sandcrawler.
I think it's the same turtle ship that they've been using it like the whole time.
It looked a little different for some reason. It looked more like a sandcrawler for some reason to me.
They might have stole another ship.
Yeah.
But I called it this Turtle Ship 1 at some point, so now it's still going to be the Turtle Ship for this, because I didn't notice. Well, for me, for my notes, as I choke on spit, coffee
nice.
Spit. Coffee spit, yeah, in your mouth. Oh, I'm tired. It's
oh, my
okay.
God.
I know.
Hope
I'm
needs
so
sleep.
Up. I had a nap, so I'm just like, yeah, let's go. I usually don't nap on Mondays. Like, Sunday is my nap day, and I had a nap today, so I'm just like, pachah, podcasting. So in this recap, the narrator says that Maul and Savage are using vengeance and rage to guide them on their path, looking for the meaning of their new alliance. That line just, like, weirdly stuck out to me, and because I thought they already knew their path, and I thought they already knew what they were going to do, because it wasn't at the point of the revenge episode where Maul was just like, I don't want just revenge on Kenobi, I want revenge on all the Jedi. So, like, but it implies that there's something more there, like especially the whole, like, looking for meaning. Like, I wasn't quite sure what they meant by that.
To me, that whenever I hear about looking for meaning in something, my brain almost like glosses over it because it just sounds like bullshit to me.
I know.
We must look for our meaning of our vengeance. No, we must look at the mechanics of our attack on the Jedi. You know, the whole thing with Maul and the money is like, money. It's like, no, take that money. You can buy yourself a big gun, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. You know, it's going to cost money for your plan unless you come up with some incredibly, you know, zen-like plan, you know. But a little money wouldn't hurt. You might have to grease some wheels here and there. So don't get too snippy about finding a bunch of gold.
I know. I was waiting for Savage to say that. I'd be like, brother, we can, like, buy a fast ship.
Yeah. Yeah, like, exactly. We can hire an army to fight the Jedi or whatever they had to do.
This is like half of what Cad Bane is worth, brother. Come on, we could get like Imbo. But I guess like there, I started thinking about it more about like what it means, and I don't know if Dave Filoni was thinking this far ahead, but I wouldn't also put it past Dave Filoni because he seemed to have things developed really far ahead because, you know, Clone Wars is supposed to be like 7 to 8 seasons and I would feel like he was already kind of thinking about Rebels at the time. But the whole, like, looking for their meaning, I wonder if this is the very first time that we're kind of hinting at Maul's story arc in Rebels.
Well, who knows if he might have been thinking of Maul's story arc going in that direction and got to do it in Rebels, you know. It might have been, I don't know if he was thinking about it, you know, literally in the context of Rebels, or if he was thinking about it in, like, season 8 of Clone Wars or something like that, you know?
Yeah. So, like, if it wasn't Dave Filoni, then I would just kind of blow off the line, but it's Dave Filoni. So I feel like he probably had some idea. Like, he might not have known, like, what it was concrete, but I think he might have had some idea of what Maul's journey was going to be.
I would hope so.
Me too. I also kind of, like...
has story coming up, you know? I mean, so he was, you know, a lot of this might have been to lead up to that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I would totally agree with that too. Especially like since I know the end of Clone Wars and you don't, like I could understand that as well. By the way, when I say Super Mall Bros, that's me making a very loose joke about the Super Mario Brothers, because it's spelled Super Mario Bros. I'm not clever today, not even close. But about their fight, two sides of that. I really like seeing Maul falling back from his Sith training, even after all this time.
Why do we call him Malio and Luigi?
Malio and Savigi?
Malio and Savigi. I
Malio
like that.
Malio and Savigi! I guess would they be Wario and Waluigi, though? Because they're the bad versions?
Yeah, but Maul starts with an M, so it might not be the best name, but...
Malio and Savigi.
Yeah, I guess it rolls off the tongue a little bit, or as best as possible.
But I do like seeing Maul falling back on his Sith training, even like being away from it for as long as he has been, and how it's actually causing friction with the brothers. Because so far they've been kind of palling around and getting along pretty well and stuff, but like, it's this Sith training that's like embedded inside Maul, which is causing their friction.
I know, what a douche, man. His brother came and saved his ass, basically.
But I mean, honestly, like, that's all that Maul knows. He was raised from a childhood by Palpatine. Like, all he knows how to do is be a Sith. I don't think even at this point he knows how to be
Hey, well,
Maul.
How did Savage get where he was? He killed his brother, right? So
yeah.
So, yeah, so I guess he should not feel bad if he gets punked down.
Yeah, but I think that's so interesting because I think as a character, like, Maul doesn't actually know how to be himself. Like, he doesn't know what he is without the Sith. Like, he has, because I think at this point he's still Darth Maul. Because you remember how in Rebels he was just like, I'm not Darth anymore. I'm just Maul. And I think that's the first time, like, we really saw him, like, this is me as an individual opposed to being Darth Maul. Yes. And so I think that's interesting because, like, here at this point, Maul's not at that place. He doesn't know how to be that. So he's just falling back on what he knows, which is causing trouble for his brother, which my other note is, on the flip side of this, poor Savage just keeps getting the short end of the stick. Because first Ventress, then Dooku, and now Maul, and he just keeps getting kicked around by all these people who are just like, I'm your master! And he's just like, but no. But yeah, I mean, yeah. And going back up to the extra information notes and the reason I put it in there, I was talking about how, like, the droids and the worker guy were calling them Jedi and how it's not very well known that right. They're a Sith. But I feel like I'm recalling a wrong thing, and I keep thinking season 2 and Padme, maybe? But I thought that the Sith are generally unknown in the galaxy, right?
I think, yeah, well, you know.
Do they not have history books? Well, I guess no.
Yeah, well, they might have, but who knows how much reading the average Star Wars, it doesn't seem like the average Star Wars denizen does much reading anyway, but yeah. Even so, like, I mean, a lot of, well, even the Jedi could have been fairly, like, I think if you lived on Coruscant, like, you could probably see Jedi more often because that's where they all were. But even so, when you look at Coruscant, that's the whole planet is, like, basically New York City. And the Jedi are sort of, I mean, there isn't even really, a capital there. It's all just Coruscant. So the Jedi are all sort of based in that one hub in the Jedi building. So probably your average, you know, galaxy dweller will never see a Jedi in their life, you know? So they're just sort of like, probably a lot of people are like, oh yeah, the Jedi, we know what they do and stuff, but they're never going to see one. But there's probably other people to where the Jedi could plausibly be, you know, just like legendary or mythical or not even something that they've ever heard of. And there's way less, there's only usually two Sith hanging around anyway.
That's actually a very good point because we saw that in Rebels in the most recent season when Kanan and Ezra found the paintings in the Loth Wolf's cave. There was what looks like Jedi coming down from the sky and one looks like Yoda. And they're almost presented as this, like, mythical thing on the fall.
And probably people, you know, just the people who know about the Sith are probably the people who are sort of just, like, have shown an interest in, like, the, you know, the mystical Jedi stuff and, like, have read some books and, like, oh, know about the Sith. But probably most people aren't interested enough, you know, to know about the Sith.
And, as you were talking, I started thinking, it seems like some planets more than others produce more Jedi, because at the beginning of this episode, we see a Twi'lek woman, a Twi'lek Jedi get killed, and we know that about Aya Sukura. So that's two Twi'leks right there. But then this pig guy that we think is Andy Griffith.
Ugnaught. I think he's supposed to be an Ugnaught.
Yeah. But like we've never seen a Jedi for his race, now that I think about it, that I know of. There might be one hiding in the EU. Right. But I mean, I'm wondering if certain races are more force sensitive than others.
It seems like there seems to be ones that are definitely more so.
Yeah. But to play devil's advocate for the point I was making, about how like people don't seem to know what the Sith are. Obi-Wan tells Andy Griffith that they're Sith, and he totally accepts it. He's like, cool, Sith, I know what that is. And I was just like, how do you know what that is?
Yeah, he basically might watch, like, you know, whatever, the Discovery Channel or whatever, the Space Discovery Channel, and was like, oh yeah, I saw a special on that.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, there's all these, like, vast histories, like in the Old Republic and stuff, about how there used to be, like, tons of Sith, like, all over the galaxy before they made the rule of two. So it's definitely in the galaxy's history that at one point,
right,
there's tons and tons of Sith at one point. I feel like it's kind of like reading about, like...
Well, it would be like asking, say, the
American Revolution.
It would be like asking a 10-year-old who Genghis Khan was, you know? Mm-hmm. You know who Genghis Khan was? Yeah, wasn't he that guy? He was like,
he made a restaurant.
You know, they'll just think, you know, they picture him, you know, like murdering people over, taking over Europe or whatever, you know, or whatever. But they don't really know that, you know, they just have a sort of vague idea of who he was because he existed so long ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, they might have touched on it in history class, but they didn't particularly care, pay attention or something. And, you know, or even like
the concept of like our founding fathers, like they seem like such like mythical creatures, like beings that it's almost like reading you could read
there's
George Washington
from the past.
As like it's not relevant. You know, a really good example.
But you also read about sea monsters in the past and stuff like that too. So a lot of, so...
actually, a really good example is I was talking with Christy, my coworker, about 9/11, and there's a customer there, and she was young, like early teenagers years, and like this teenager, because she didn't live through it, because she was born in the early 2000s, she didn't live through it, so she didn't like this idea of 9/11 was such like a distant concept to her.
Yeah.
So, and like me and Christy are like, whoa, we're old. So, yeah. Or, like, Y2K. I remember having a conversation when I used to work at Spencer's. We had, like, a Y2K cup, and this teenager didn't know what Y2K was because she had never lived through it.
Yeah.
And it was such a foreign, distant concept to her. So, yeah. I find that really fascinating about Star Wars, is that the Sith is just, like, almost like historical figures, almost, and they're just these weird concepts.
Well, it seems in the Star Wars universe, people forget history pretty quickly, it seems like. So.
That's true, because Tarkin was definitely around... during Jedi time, but and then in A New Hope, he was like, Vader, it's magic! And Vader's like, I fought with you at the fucking Citadel, man! I saved your ass!
Yeah.
The fuck? Come on, Tarkin, we're bros! And then he, like, hops on his back and...
Well, Tarkin was also the super Nazi type, so he was also probably... That was probably part of rewriting history, you know, writing the Jedi right out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We'll just dismiss them as a bunch of goofballs from the past.
A bunch of those hippies in the past.
Yeah, some space New Agers.
Well, that's all I had for Act 1. Act 2?
Act 2.
Alright. In space around Florum, some of Hondo's men are chilling out on their flying saucer. They see the Super Marlboro's ship and they're like, man, that's a sweet turtle ship. I want it. And they make a really grave and stupid plan to take the ship. It goes about as well as you can imagine. The pirates are quickly caught by the Marlboros, and who make them an offer to either make them rich with money and wealth and super rich, because look at all the money we have and spices, and we'll make you rich. And Maul has to hold back not killing people when he's called a Jedi, and states that they are in fact crime lords. Hondo's men are like, cool. Let's defect from the pirates and become crime lord workers, because that's the exact same thing. Woo! And they call up some other guys, and Maul says that he wants Hondo's base. And one of the pirates is like, I don't know, guys. Hondo's cool and, like, one of the best Clone Wars characters. Let's see if Hondo will join us. Down on Florum, Hondo gets a Skype call from Maul, and Hondo's all like, "Those darn pirates! I trained them too well to be pirates! I'm so proud and betrayed!" And Maul's like, "I'm gonna make this super simple for you. Join me, or this will happen." And he shanks one of the pirates in the back. And Hondo's like, "They betrayed me, but they're still my bros! That's on, bitch! Bring it on!" So Obi-Wan and Adi Gallia show up, and they see the pirates with Maul, and they're like, "Wow, that's a pickle." And Gallia is like, "You know this Hondo guy?" And Obi-Wan rolls his eyes. "He thinks we're best friends. He keeps sending me friendship bracelets. We're not friends. But I can't see Hondo joining Maul, so let's call him." And Hondo gets a hollow Skype and cries, "My best friend! You screwed up, Hondo, this time. You screwed up for Hondo this time. After you Jedi lost the system, that will happen in a few episodes, so we'll just stick a pin in that point, because it hasn't happened yet. But you Jedi messed up for Hondo with some lightsaber-wielding freaks, made half my men leave. What do you plan to do about it, best friend?" And Obi-Wan said that he will deal with Savage and Maul, and Hondo can deal with his men. "This is why I love you!" Hondo shouts and prepares for battle. Maul and the pirates land, and the fight begins. What did you think of Act 2?
I don't have a lot to say about Act 2. It was a lot of
Me
fun.
Neither.
It's a lot of fun because of the inclusion of Hondo. And I love that Hondo says laser sword in it.
Yeah.
Uses the term laser sword. Which is also a nice little reference to Last Jedi. But yeah, it's just a nice little action character piece with, and I love how Hondo he just seems to enjoy himself, no matter whether it's going good or bad or whatever. He's just going to enjoy himself.
You know, like, it kind of reminded me a little bit of the talk between Grievous and Jar Jar with Maul and Hondo.
Yeah.
It's like these two characters that, like larger-than-life characters that should never actually have a conversation in Star Wars. But, like, Maul's just like, "I'm going to kill you," and Hondo's just like, "Oh, okay. No.
All right, let me pencil that in.
Death at 3. Can we move it to 3:30? That was one of my notes. I just miss Hondo so much. I mean, I adore him, and I always want Hondo here all the time. Especially now that we don't have Cad Bane anymore.
I know.
Never. Ugh, Cad Bane. But at least we have Hondo. And I think there's actually a lot of Hondo this season, so I'm excited.
That's good.
And I know we've said it before in the show, but my only other note is I just always like Hondo's flying saucers.
Yeah, the only flying saucers in Star Wars so far. I love them.
And they're so great, and they just kind of, like, spin. They just spin through space. Like, they're
like
great.
Like a 50s flying saucer.
Yeah, and Hondo would have a 50s flying saucer. But that's all I had for Act 2.
I bet you they drop bombs, too.
Bombs can't fall through space, Chris. Come on.
All right. Whatever.
It's like sound. There's no sound in space.
Whatever. I've seen bombs fall through space, so whatever.
What do you mean laser beams can go in an arc through a vacuum? What the hell? Anyway. Act 3. As the pirate fight breaks out, the Jedi arrive on the planet. Maul is frustrated because this is his plan, and his plan's not complete, and the Jedi just have to be loser pants and ruin everything. And Obi-Wan spots Maul and taunts, "Wow, pirates? Really? Really? Are you that desperate? I'm desperate for your head!" Maul attacks and takes the fight into the pirate camp, while Adi Gallia takes on Savage Opress. But Savage overpowers her and headbutts her with his horns, gutting her against a ship. And she falls to the ground and Savage kills her. Obi-Wan goes into angry fighting mode and takes Gallia's lightsaber. "Hey, bestie!" Hondo cries. "Come over here so I can help you!" And Obi-Wan parkours to Hondo and they flee inside the base to regroup. They make a quick plan that Obi-Wan will lead the Super Maul Bros away while Hondo ambushes and traps the traitor men in the tunnel. And Hondo is totally cool with this plan because it does not involve him dying. Obi-Wan leads the brothers down another hallway, whips out his lightsaber and Gallia, and he knows he totally can take on the brothers. And it's an epic small hallway fight. So good. Meanwhile, Hondo traps his traitor men, and the men beg for their lives and for forgiveness. Hondo is like, of course I'm not gonna kill you. Let's go steal those horned freaks' ship. Pirates engage! Hooray! Back with the lightsaber boys, Obi-Wan spends most of the fight kicking Savage in the kneecap. Finally, he's able to knock over Savage and cut off his arm. Maul actually sounds concerned for about 0.05 seconds for his brother and force throws Obi-Wan down a hallway and collapses the tunnel. Maul realizes that their plan has failed and his brother is spewing Night Sister mist, so it's time to go! Outside, Maul sees the pirates and tells them it's time to leave. And Hondo saunters out going, that's cute, but my men are my men again. Run along, little Jedi freaks. Kill those guys. And it's a race to Maul's ship as the pirates shoot at the bros. Maul gets his legs shot off, and Savage grabs him. Flinging Kenobi's ship to the ground to block their path, Maul and Savage make it to the Turtle Ship 1 and fire it up. But Hondo's men hit it with a rocket launcher. And Savage is all like, woe is me, it's too late. Alas, I have no arm. And Maul is like, there are a lot of people in Star Wars with no arms. Get your ass up and get in the escape pod now. And Hondo and Kenobi ride out to the crashed ship, so rest in pieces, Turtle Ship 1. The goods are there, but Savage and Maul escaped in the pod and are nowhere to be seen. On Coruscant, Kenobi, Yoda, Anakin, and Wet Blanket Windu are meeting with Palpatine, who totally thinks that this case is wrapped up and in the bag. He swings out his politician powers, saying that Obi-Wan's personal matters isn't a threat to Republic. He needs Kenobi back fighting the war. Ending the Clone Wars would be the best for everyone, and he dismisses the Jedi from his office. Kenobi tells the other Jedi that crime families are flourishing in the Clone Wars since the Jedi haven't been able to keep them in check. He knows that Maul will flourish in the underworld. But Yoda points out that Obi-Wan's feelings are being clouded, so maybe Palpatine is right on this one. They'll act when the time comes. The end.
I wonder if Palpatine's freaking out a little bit.
I have a note about Palpatine too!
Like, I don't know if he's freaking out or if he's just like, oh, okay, I can use this, or if this is all part of his plan or whatever. But I don't. I think he might be freaking out a little bit to think that Darth Maul is still alive.
I'm going to go ahead and say my Palpatine note because it's right along with that one. Because I really want to know what Palpatine thinks about Maul and all of this. Because, I mean, I'm pretty sure, I don't think he planned for Maul's return. I'm pretty sure he thought Maul was dead.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I just needed a tiny scene, even if it's 5 seconds right at the end, like when he's stapling his fingers and looking evil, where he Skypes up Dooku and goes, yo, we have a problem.
Maybe.
Or just something, or just some inclination that...
I don't even know if Dooku would even be in the loop because he's such an idiot.
No,
I don't even know if he would put him in.
Remember a few episodes ago when Maul first came back, they had that opening scene, and Anakin, Obi-Wan, Yoda, Ventress, and Dooku all sensed Maul.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
So Dooku does know that Maul's running around. So I just would have liked a little tiny scene at the end where he Skypes Dooku and says something to give like an idea of like to the viewer what Palpatine's thinking right now. Like that's what I felt was missing from this episode. But go on.
my only other note is Hondo's men are just so happy to they're all like smiling and happy right before they get shot down in the fight. They're all like wee.
They're having a blast.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Hondo's having a good time fighting his own men.
Yeah.
He's having a like, good old
time.
Just
as they're fighting somebody, they're like, they all go down with a smile on their face.
You know, I have to give it to the weak quays too. Because I know it's in Hondo's men. There's several women fighting in the background, so I gotta give it to Hondo for letting his ladies help and fight too. I like that, so... Well, for my notes, this is where the bulk of my notes is. Compared to last episode, where, like, Obi-Wan was fighting Maul and, like, Ventress had to come save him, I noticed that Obi-Wan is holding his own much better against Maul this time around. And, I mean, granted, last time it was 2-on-1 and they beat the crap out of Obi-Wan until Ventress showed up. But it's kind of cool to see that how much Obi-Wan has already grown in his skills since the last time he fought Maul. I feel like he's probably more prepared for it now.
He is, and he's fought him before, too, and every time they probably fight, he, you know, gets a little bit more of his fighting style and stuff, but still, they still pronounce Obi-Wan again in this one.
I mean, you can tell that he learned because he kept kicking Savage in the kneecap, same kneecap, because he's going to fall.
And every time he fights him, he's going to pick up something else, but still, the two of them still pretty much, he pretty much lucked out that, you know, the wall sort of collapsed between them.
I don't know, though. He could have Savage's arm.
He did. He's going to get better every time, but they still kind of put a hurting on him.
Yeah. So, far off into the future, in Rebels' timeline, Hondo tells Ezra, "One of my best friends was a Jedi, and I'm pretty sure we were friends." And we've seen Hondo and Obi-Wan in the past be, like, kind of mutually respectful for each other. Unlike Anakin, because Anakin tends to hold a grudge against Hondo.
Right.
But Obi-Wan understands that he's a pirate, and Hondo understands Obi-Wan's position in this war. So they're both kind of like water under the bridge characters when it comes to each other, and they will fight each other one day, and they will help each other next day. So something I really like about this episode is it's kind of the starting point here in this episode that gives Hondo a really good view of some Jedi, especially Obi-Wan. And I think this is the episode that allows him to trust and befriend Ezra in the future.
Well, he and Obi-Wan, you know, I don't know. Obi-Wan probably doesn't consider it a friendship, but, you know, they at least have an understanding, and that's probably enough for Hondo to consider it a friendship, you know?
Yeah.
And Hondo also doesn't have the Jedi pride to get over. He could just be like, yeah, we're buddies, But he and Obi-Wan do understand each other, so that means in a situation like that, you know, Obi-Wan knows he can ply something to their mutual benefit, and that Hondo is not just a total psychopath, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's kind of interesting, because we've always talked about how, like, bounty hunters tend to seem to have a sense of honor, you know? Like you know, we saw in the box, like,
some don't, you know? And yeah, Hondo does. Hondo has sort of the honor amongst thieves type of stuff. But there are other ones that are just total psychopaths. But at the same time, Hondo would screw Obi-Wan. He probably wouldn't screw him to where, like, Obi-Wan would get killed because of it. But if it was Hondo's life or Obi-Wan's life, yeah, he would, you know?
Yeah. And we actually see that a little bit in Rebels. There's a chance, like, Hondo was trying to make away with some gold and almost killed Ezra, and Ezra was just like, come on, you!
Yeah.
But that's what I kind of like about this episode, is I feel like this is the first time we see, like, future kind of nod towards Rebels, and this is kind of what leads to Ezra and Hondo being friends in the future. And it's kind of like the baseline of that. And I really like that about that episode. I like kind of seeing these, like, kind of, like, things that built towards Rebels now. And again, I don't think, I think it's kind of the reverse. Like, I don't think Dave Filoni was purposely building towards Rebels, but he's building Rebels on top of his groundwork for Clone Wars.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Talking more about the fight with Obi-Wan and the Super Maul Bros, Malio and Savage. The more and more we see these fights between Maul and Obi-Wan, it makes me really appreciate more their showdown in Rebels in the episode Twin Suns. Because, like, these Clone Wars fights are, like, really elaborate, they're very detailed, they're in multiple locations, and they're, like, parkouring, and they're jumping, they're slashing, there's all this thing, there's colors everywhere, flashing everywhere, like, you gotta be careful to not, like, trigger a seizure, because there's lightsaber colors everywhere. But then, like, you look at something like Twin Suns, it's so simple when Ben Kenobi fights Maul. And the more I see these battles in Clone Wars being this elaborate and, like, huge and big and, like, action-packed, I appreciate more and more how simple that was. Because both Maul and Obi-Wan have grown past this. They're not this anymore. They're past that.
Well,
so
they've grown past it, but when they sat there and looked at each other, all that went on in their head. They did a million jumps and flips and stuff in their heads and said, that's not going to be, you know, this
not going to work.
Yeah, they knew what the other person would do to counter all that stuff, so it becomes a more refined and, you know, thought out thing. And they sat there, and Obi-Wan calculated what he had to do, and then Maul calculated what they had to do, and then they just went foomp and pulled their move, you know. And
Like old samurai.
Yeah.
But, like, that's just something, like, the more and more I watch these, like, big elaborate fights, I just appreciate
when they never met each other, it might have been a more parkour-y type of fight as they figured out what all their limitations were. But by this time, they knew, you know?
Yeah. And I appreciate it so much more. And I'm sure when we eventually get to Twin Suns, we're going to be like, hey, what about that Clone Wars thing back then? Yeah. It's interesting. A couple of short notes. I will say that the hallway fight with Obi-Wan versus the Super Maul Bros is so good. It's one of my favorites.
It is really good.
It's really good. And I also like the nod of, like, when Savage loses his arm and Maul loses his metal legs, like, Night Sister green mist comes out of them.
Some of the magic is leaking out, yeah.
I liked that, especially with the metal legs. Like, I can imagine it with Savage, but I forgot that it comes out of his metal legs, and then I was like, oh yeah, Talzin did make those. Yeah, she's a mechanic now. I forgot about that. I do like seeing Maul lose here in this scene. Because I don't see it as a weak moment for him. I feel like this is a learning moment for him, and he's just going to use it as a stepping stone, and the next time we see him, he's going to be more powerful. Yeah. And I like that. So how do you feel about Yoda agreeing with Palpatine this time?
It's kind of weird, but they are talking about stuff that's cloudy and murky, too, so I don't know. I don't like it. It doesn't work with my Yoda knows everything theory as well.
You know, I've been hearing, like, talks about this, and I've read articles, but I haven't had a chance to actually sit and watch the video. But I read a fascinating article that was defending Anakin, and it was by a person who has put down Luke her entire life. And she always, like, called, like, Luke, like, whiny and, like, stuff like that. But, like, she realized because of Anakin and because of how the Jedi Order works that she appreciated Luke more. And the argument is that the Jedi are so toxic because they tell people to swallow their emotions. And that's so toxic. And that's why Anakin was so different, because he was a normal person. Of course he missed his mom. Of course he had feelings. And that was Anakin's quote-unquote flaw to the Jedi, is he was normal. You know, if we met Anakin in any situation and he was just a normal guy and he was saying the same things, we'd been like, this dude's a normal dude.
Yep.
You know, he misses his mom. And that was the flaw of the Jedi. And her argument went on about, like, that's why Luke was so much better and, like, why she owed Luke Skywalker an apology, because he learned how to balance that emotion. And also, to a bigger extent, Kanan did as well. Kanan does, because he clearly loves Hera, even though he's a Jedi. But yeah, because Luke chooses to not swallow his emotion and save his friends. He chooses to embrace it and kind of find a little bit more of that balance that people like Yoda and Windu did not have. And so that's why this, like, after seeing that made this moment extra weird for me, because Yoda was just like, Obi-Wan, you need to, like, swallow this Maul thing and not think about it again. And I was just like, ugh, what a terrible thing to say. This person killed his master and is running around the galaxy, and we're going to just sweep it under the rug and, like, wait for that dust bunny to emerge again? Come on.
That's all the Jedi seem to do these days anyway, so.
Yeah. So it's such a weird moment that, especially Yoda agreeing with, I don't know, it's really struck me in a really bad way.
Yeah, I agree. It didn't seem like a Yoda line. But then again, who knows? Yoda might be going along with it because he knows what's going on, so he might be being a little deceptive about it, or not letting them in on what he knows, you know, lie of omission, you know.
Or maybe he can see the bigger picture and he's just like, no, for real, Obi-Wan, we need you to get back on that
right,
front line.
Right, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Things are getting fucked up, we need you out there. Get on that front line, Obi-Wan. Please. So, this is more about the episode as a whole. I'm kind of on the fence about this episode and the previous episode being split up, because I feel like they should be a two-parter. Either the season 4 finale or the two-parter opening for season 5. So how do you feel this works as a kind of a standalone episode?
It's all right. It's sort of a standalone setup episode, though. It seems to be setting up for future, you know, the future adventures of the Super Mario Brothers. So, so it's not bad as a standalone episode, but it doesn't feel like a purely standalone episode to me, you know?
Me neither. And that's why I feel like it would have been worked better, like, if they put this with the season 4 finale and made it a two-parter together. It's just weird that it's split. Like, you have that one from season 4, and this is the beginning of season 5.
When I think of standalone, I think of R2 and 3PO having their underground adventure in the gas planet, you know, or something like that.
Yeah. Also, the title of this episode is Revival. What's being revived?
Good question. not that Darth Maul and Savage ever had anything to revive. It's more like they're setting up their thing. So yeah, I'm not really sure what's being. I don't think it's a totally appropriate title.
Me neither.
Like some of the platitudes.
Yeah, like if anything, this episode should be called Obi-Wan and Hondo's Bromance 2.0.
Yeah, and I mean, and Savage and even if it's like the revival of them as powerful people, they're not. They're defeated at the end of this. So, yeah.
So, but that's all I had for this episode. So you want to wrap it up, Chris?
You ready to score this sucker up?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one got... I gave this one an extra point just for having Hondo. Hondo brought it up a point. It would have been a 7.0. It's an 8.0. And it's all because of you, Hondo.
So
good, solid, upper echelon, solid episode. If it wasn't for Hondo, it would have been kind of plain and dour.
For me, that's pretty much how I was like, because like my average, when there's an average episode, I usually give it a 7. But Hondo made it go up because I love him, and I gave it a 7.5. So I'm just under you. But for me, like, this is a great action-packed episode for the opening of season 5, and it's always great to see Hondo. And I like that there's a little bit of, like, Rebels groundwork being laid here, even if Dave Filoni didn't mean to. And I just always love Hondo's unsteady partnership with Obi-Wan, which leads to his friendship with Ezra in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to see, like, Maul and Savage suffer a loss, and I like seeing their friction, too. I like seeing them fighting, like, and their infighting, because that's gonna be... I feel like it's building to something. But I like Obi-Wan is growing in skill every time he sees Maul. I still feel like we're missing a Palpatine scene in this about like how he feels about Maul. I really, really, really need that. But overall, it's a fun break into season 5. So like I said, 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah, it's very much like a sort of like mid-level season opener where they don't want to come out with too much of a bang, but it's definitely not boring.
I mean, there's plenty of things going on. I mean, like, they have a couple legacy characters, Hondo's here. I mean, it's a good episode.
Yeah.
Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. And this week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode, The Box. Take it away, Chris.
Oh, sorry, so that's Scott McGregor says, well, what's in the box? I was like, I don't know what that's a reference to, but it's a reference to the name of the show.
I thought Dick in a Box. It's my dick in a box.
He's referencing the movie 7. So it would it was actually a human head in the box. But
I thought it was a dick in a box, so never mind.
Well, you know, with this show, that's probably the more classy solution. All right, so we got one with Paul C. Kelly. Count Dooku hearing about Obi-Wan and most likely realizing Hardeen is Obi-Wan was similar to Disney's 70s Robin Hood movie when Prince John realizes Robin Hood is in disguise at the archery contest. And he's got a picture of the Disney Prince John rubbing his paws together, Mr. Burns, like, panting his hands.
It actually kind of looks like Palpatine. It kind of seems like looks like Palpatine at the end of this episode after the Jedi leave, and he like staples his fingers together.
Yes, yes. Let me just staple these together.
Yeah, good. Go fall into your senses.
Speaking of good.
Oh my gosh, it's that time again. I've been missing.
Finally, we haven't had one in a while.
I know.
And we've gotten a new package from Dario since.
If you don't know what we're doing, Chris hates American Kit Kats. So our friend Dario Gonzalez, which is also Chris's co-podcaster for Eat It and Beat It, and you can actually hear Dario talk with us in our 100th episode, he sends us candy from all over the world. And today we're doing an unusual banana cake candy from Japan.
Yeah, I was like, we got to do the banana candy first because it looks like it's the most perishable.
It smells good.
I've been imagining what this is going to smell like. And
it looks like kind of like a Twinkie.
It is. It's like it's got a really small. And I was like, oh yeah, this is definitely like, it's got one of those little like.
Oh my god. It has like banana pudding inside.
Oh really?
Oh my god.
It's got that sort of sour smell to it, like pudding. And it's in its own little plastic nest. Oh my god.
Oh my god. Dario.
Oh dear sweet Jesus.
Dario, I'm gonna
it's
eat
like
this
a
and beat this.
Flat banana shaped Twinkie.
Oh my god.
With a dark banana. It's somewhere between pudding and just like a banana paste. It's like almost like pure banana.
I know. It's not as sweet as banana pudding. Because no. I know I live in the South.
It's
we like slather
too.
A ton of. Like in the South, we slather like a ton of whipped cream on top of banana pudding. So it's not as sweet as banana pudding, but oh my god, that's so good. I love banana stuff, so give me all
not,
the bananas.
It's not sweet. It's got the sort of tang that banana has, too.
Yeah. Oh. Thank you, Dario. Thank
one
you
of the
so
first non-chocolate.
Oh man!
Very rare that we don't have that we're not eating chocolate right now.
No.
Oh, this is delicious.
Oh, that's a wonderful way to start the new year.
Mm-hmm.
With bananas in our mouths. Where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me sitting high atop the Empire State Building of podcasts. That is twotruefreaks.com, munching on my cakey banana-filled cake. Swatting down planes as they get too close, like there were just mosquitoes.
Swatting down other podcasts? Like, no, you're not allowed in Two True Freaks.
That's
but
the
you're
thing
good.
Is,
you
that's
come
the thing.
Here.
Two True Freaks doesn't even, we don't even want to compete with the other. We don't even try to compete with the other podcasts. We just do our thing and let them.
That's true.
And let them bash their heads together.
Yeah, that's true. Very rarely did we, like, not invite people to be like, yeah, come on.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't see what we're competing for. You know, if we were like one of those places that was full of ad revenue and stuff, and it was really important to get millions of listeners so in order to pay for our facilities, then yeah, then we might want to compete with everybody else. But yeah, we have the freedom of not giving a shit. It's awesome. And we just have thousands and thousands of podcasts, and every day it seems we're adding more and more and more and more. Just before this, we had a nice little run. It actually hasn't happened yet. I'm talking about it as if it's a past, but it's the near future for me now, but it will be the near past when you hear this. A nice Last Jedi run of three... two Last Jedi and one Star Wars. So we're going to have a lot of Star Wars content on Two True Freaks this month, which makes sense. And, one of which was the return of one of the first Two True Freaks podcasts, one that ended and that we thought had ended and everybody else thought it ended, but is now coming back, and that's Star Wars Monthly Monday.
Really?
Yep.
Tell us more about that.
We're going to be, we're still firming up exactly what we're going to do, but we have a pretty good idea what we're going to do, but I can tell you what we are going to do is Star Wars comics. We are going to be back to reviewing Star Wars comics, just like we were before. We ended because we finished up the original Marvel run. But we just want to get back to it. We want to get back to it, and there's so many Star Wars comics out there. We're going to go through them and pick out some good ones. And there's definitely enough good ones to keep us going for years and years and years if we so choose. So
the current run of Darth Vader is just so good. And I might like extra love it because it has such Rebels implications into it.
Well, it's funny. I was talking to Scott Gardner, and that's the one Marvel one that he's still following nowadays, and
it's so good.
Yeah, that's what he says.
It's that the most recent episode was like the fate of Jocasta Nu, the old librarian woman, and she was amazing.
A badass.
You know, such a badass. Like, can we say, like, grabs a big gun, her lightsaber charges the gun, and she's shooting, like, lightsaber blasts at Vader?
Oh, jeez.
It's amazing!
Don't fuck with the librarian, kids.
That was actually probably one of the best parts, too, because the Grand Inquisitor's in there, and, like, one of the biggest things is, like, Jocasta Nu always kept him out of the library when he was still the Jedi, and like she was like, "You're not allowed to read this knowledge." And he's like, "What do you mean I'm not allowed to read this knowledge?" So now that all the Jedi gone, the Grand Inquisitor is like, he's like Belle in Beauty and the Beast. He's just like, "Look at all these books! All these books are amazing!" And he's going through all the books, and he's like, "This one's trash!" And he throws it across the room, and Jocasta Nu drops down from the ceiling, and she's just like, "Don't fuck with my book!"
No, nobody touches a book like that around me.
Oh god, it was this most recent arc was so good. It's so good. I've been really, really enjoying this renovator. Like, after the whole, like, the first renovator, after they, like, found Padme's body and, like, confirmed that, like, Luke was Vader's son, it was okay. It kind of petered out after Vader down, and the last arc was okay. It wasn't my favorite. But, I mean, this new Vader run... But I also really like Charles Soule as a writer. Like, Charles, I love his other work, Curse Words. Like, I'm really into Curse Words. It's such a good comic. But, like, this run of Vader is so solid, especially the way it ties into Rebels. Oh, man. It's so good.
Well, I think the first, like, series that we're going to run through will be Clone Wars, will be Clone Wars prequel era stories. Maybe... They will be, yeah, they're going to be prequel. We'll be doing definitely some prequel era stuff at first. So, yeah, look forward to that. You can also find us on Twitter, where our Twitter feed is Two True Freaks at Twitter, run by Gene, the podcasting machine.
Gene.
And we are also on Facebook at Two True Freaks on Facebook. We have the Two True Freaks Cantina. And a lot of our quality shows have their own Facebook pages. So come on there and check it out. What about you, Hope?
You can find me at JGuysAndJedi over on Twitter. I run our Twitter page. And you can also find me at Hope Molinax on Twitter. And I'm also the news writer for WhatTheFangirl.com. And one of my most recent pieces I wrote... I had some thought. They announced a Black Widow movie, and my first thought was about damn time. But then I have like a massive major gripe of a potential Black Widow movie, and then a tiny little nitpick of the Black Widow movie of what it could be. And long story short, I just don't want the Black Widow movie to be like a romance with her and Bruce Banner. Like, if Banner's there, that's fine, but like. 90, it needs to be kind of like Wonder Woman, where it's like Diana's still the forefront. Like, there's a romance there, but Diana's still the forefront character. And honestly, I just want the Black Widow movie to be like an ass-kicking, murdering, spy, crazy thriller.
Yes, I think that's what I think. I think it should be basically be almost like a standalone James Bond movie.
But. I want it to also have, like, the mental side of her dealing with how this impacts her character. And I actually said I would like... Where did I write this? I would want it to be the political thriller of Winter Soldier, the violence and mental struggle of the Punisher, and the grit of Daredevil. Yeah, like, that's
yeah,
how
it's
I...
It's going to be, like, sort of like... I think it will be, like, James Bond meets, like, the Manchurian Candidate, basically.
Yeah. Or... And then my tiny little nitpick is, like, and I will even blame Clone Wars for this. I would rather have it be, like, a 12 to 22 episode show on Netflix. But I just personally believe that television is a better format for storytelling because you can only fit so much in 2 hours.
For them to cover that stuff would be interesting, but it's also gotten covered a lot. Her story, in a lot of ways, is very similar to Wolverine's, which is unfortunately in the Wolverine aspect of that aspect of her story wasn't in a very good movie, but it's kind of been done. But,
yeah.
But, yeah, no, I think they should. I think it should be just like a high flying action nonstop movie. It'll be amazing. I mean, Scarlett Johansson is made to do that. She's done it before.
Yeah. So, but yeah, check out my work over at whatthefangirl.com. So that's what I do. I'm the news writer there. So yeah, come say hi. And if you like us, maybe hit up our Patreon. Yeah. But that's all I have for this. Do you have anything else, Chris?
Nah, come back next week.
Actually, come back next week. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Next week, we meet Saul Guerrera.
Oh, yay!
We meet Saul Guerrera next week!
Oh, good. That's going to be a lot of fun for me.
Yeah, 4 episodes of Saul Guerrera. And we can finally fill in that, like, Rogue One stuff that I couldn't talk to you about when we did our commentary.
All I know is he's skinny.
He's, what do you call him? A little shaver?
He's pre-Riddick Whittaker'd.
He's a little shaver. That's yes. The term, right? Also, Rex gets his stupidest outfit ever.
Awesome.
I hate Rex's outfit in this next arc. It's so... We went from, like, the glory of the Kadavo slaver arc to, like, this. And I'm just like, oh, Rex, you let Obi-Wan dress you this time. Obi-Wan was like, you need to wear your hat, you're gonna get cold, and Rex is like, this hat is dumb, Anakin, help me, and he's like, no, I dressed you for Kadavo, I made you hot, and Obi-Wan's like, you need to wear your hat, it's gonna be cold, and he's like,
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. T-R-U-E-F-R-E-A-K-S.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
I got it in the tip of my tongue.
Come on.
Oh, golly, I'm not even... Let me see. Oh! Alexander Dumbass! Oh, Henry Dumbass!